This letter says One Main Financial used to be City Financial.
Didn't they help your uncle get a personal loan?
Made all the terms very clear.
Wonder if they could help with a new kitchen.
A new kitchen?
City Financial is now One Main Financial, still providing personalized loan solutions. Go to onemainfinancial.com or call 1-855-321-MAIN. One Main Financial. Your needs, your goals, your dreams. Offer subject to restrictions and requirements of a licensee. For licensing information, visit our website or call us.
At Advance Auto Parts, we don't do anything just part way. We go full throttle. We won't just sell you a few cans of oil. Oh, no. We'll sell you a 5-plus quarts jug of Valvoline conventional motor oil and a Purelator classic oil filter. All for just $13.99 after $7 mail-in rebate. Think licking a stamp isn't worth $7? Well, go have another Chablis on your private yacht, money pants. Service is our best part. Advance Auto Parts. Free rebate price, $20.99. See store for details.
This paid commercial may not represent the views of Hubbard Broadcasting Incorporated or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions of this broadcast are solely those of individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program.
Get ready for Foodie and the Beast with Nikki and David Nellis. A foodie born and bred, Nikki loves dining out, chatting up chefs, and insider industry buzz. David thinks a great meal is a good burger, a frosty brew, and a check for under $20. Foodie married Beast. And now they have the Food and Wine Variety Show that has everyone talking. From famous chefs, winemakers, and brewmasters to authors, farmers, and restaurant critics. It's Foodie and the Beast, and it's on now.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the Food and Wine Show that has everybody talking, according to the intro. Talking to you.
Right.
Well, thanks for joining us. We've got an amazing show, but we do have to mention yesterday we were at the Crafty Bastards
event.
Craft and Food Festival in Adams Morgan in that monsoon.
It was raining.
And it was cold.
It was rainy and it was cold, but everybody did come out. They got an incredible crowd.
Gazillions of people turned out.
And there was lots of fantastic food offerings. It was fun.
Just the smells from the different booths.
I know. Well, and there was a winner. There were some judges there. Chris Schott from City Paper. Nick Jamet. I feel like his name should be said again on this show.
Jamet?
Someone every week. but there was a fabulous chutney made by somebody locally, and they won, and it was spicy and delicious. I actually have a video of it, and we'll be posting it on the site later on today.
All right. So let's talk about the show.
First up...
We've got Washingtonian, Washington native, I found out, Lisa Yockelson with us. She's the award-winning cookbook author of Baking by Flavor and Chocolate Chocolate, and she's in to celebrate the launch of her new cookbook, which is called Baking Style, Art Craft Recipes. And we're going to talk about some new approaches to holiday baking.
All right.
Nikki are going to talk about it.
You need to stop speaking.
I do.
When I say Jamie Leeds, everybody in this town knows exactly who I'm talking about.
I say lobster rolls.
And some people say oysters. And that's what we're going to be talking about today. Jamie Leeds is in studio. She's pan roasting some oysters for us. And she's going to show us how to shuck them on air. So that's going to be lots of fun. And it is October is Virginia Wine Month. That's what I understand from Jordan Harris, who is our return guest from Terrera Vineyards. He's going to be pouring some Virginia wines and talking us through all the exciting things going on throughout October.
And he's looking like a hippie today.
Yeah.
He doesn't look like a hippie.
Just rub it in. You guys with hair, you kill me.
He's just jealous,
and
Jordan.
And there's more, because if you're talking Virginia Wine Month, you got to talk about everything that's going on all over the state. Spencer McKenna from Lansdowne is in. They're on the Potomac Restaurant, has all sorts of events going on all month.
Well, I think because it's fall that people really sort of think, fall, I want to do a getaway. I can't do a big, huge vacation like summertime. And Lansdowne has all these great packages. It's only 60 minutes away. So he's going to tell us about some of those packages.
Actually, unsolicited testimonial. We've done that, and
yeah,
it's fun.
It is. It's a nice little overnight. So he's going to talk about their packages. He actually brought some cheese, which is perfect to go with the wine. Jordan, let's get into you. So...
I'm already into Jordan.
I know. Thank you. It is the hair. So just give us, I mean, we've had you in before, but just give everybody a quick 411 on Terrera, please.
Yeah, we're a small little winery that's about 8 miles north of Leesburg, actually close to Lansdowne. We partner with them on a bunch of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Specialize in a lot of single vineyard wines from different vineyards that we have around the state. But, for whites, and we'll end up talking about it as we get going, Viognier is really our flagship grape variety for sure.
Why is that? Why is Viognier
your grape?
It just grows really well in the different vineyards that we work with. We don't want to really try to push anything to be what it doesn't want to be. And Viognier just expresses itself really well in Virginia. It can hold on to its acidity, keep a lot of that freshness, but also the heat that we have here, it really ripens the flavor, has more exotic style.
Not today.
Well, let me ask you, though, what about with all this rain? How does that grape do in this kind of weather?
I mean, all of the wines this year, it's kind of tough to say yet because we've had a lot of rain in September, which is never a good thing. You don't want to have rain at harvest, but we had such a hot summer leading up to it that the flavor development was really quite good prior to any of this rain coming.
For somebody who doesn't know, I know nothing. Tell me what you want.
That's true.
Okay, stop. Tell me what you want as far as weather. What is the perfect weather to make a good wine?
If you look at 2007 or 2010, those were kind of the perfect vintages. You want hot and dry. It's going to give more concentration. Years like this year, it's a little bit more the winemaker's job to finagle the grape a little bit more. It takes, you know, more passes, a little bit more work. The wines end up being a little bit lighter, but you can still get some really neat characteristics.
Are they lighter because they're just so full of water?
Water, absolutely. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, there are some ways that you can deal with it. I mean, one thing that we're doing is it's in a passamento process, which is popular in northeast Italy. If you've had Amarone or anything like that, it's that kind of concept where we actually have straw mats that we're drying our grapes on in a hut with a big fan that's kind of keeping it dry and whatnot to try to get some good concentration. So there's always ways that we can kind of play with it to know exactly how all of this rain is going to
affect
us is almost impossible to know until, you know, fermentations are done.
Run around and like encourage the grapes in Italian, like, hey, ma che tu fai, and all that.
I think it was more four-letter words this year.
Oh, I know some of those too. We'll discuss that later. So, what are you going to pour?
You have a bunch of wine over there. Tell us what you're pouring.
Sure. I was hand some of these off, but we've got the first wines. We're going to try a wine from Delaplaine Cellars, which is one of the partners for us that are coming over for Fine Vine from Maggie's Vineyard, which is a vineyard that they do in Loudoun County as well. They're actually Delaplaine's actually in Fauquier. Mm-hmm. And our wholesale style Viognier that we don't do a lot of in our retail store, but it comes from another vineyard also in Loudoun called Williams Gap, and it's more of a full rich style. So you're also trying difference of vintages. The Maggie's is 2008, and then 2010, as I was saying, was that classic sort of vintage.
All right, well, while you're passing out, we're going to bring in our first guest. Many people in D.C. know her, Lisa Yockelson. You know her by her pink fuchsia, her pink colors, but also her fantastic baking advice and recipes that you see in the Washington Post, and also her fantastic baking books. Her new one just dropped, and it's baking style, and we are so excited to have you in studio because she came with brownies.
Here, I'm going to hold it up for the camera.
Came with brownies. I came with chocolate.
Right.
I came with pink.
She came with pink. So, Lisa, thank you so much for joining us today. So, let's just talk. This book is such, it's like an encyclopedia. When you went to start putting this book together, what was it that you were looking to do? I mean, did you want an encyclopedia of baking? I mean, aside from all your memories and essays and talking about your mother and the people who influenced your baking, there's a lot of technical information in here.
That's right. That's right. I decided that I wanted to write a personal lifestyle book on the art and craft of baking at home. Mm-hmm. And so that's really what baking style is about. But when you write personally, through about 100 essays, which are in the book, I also have 200 recipes. And so you have to give some idea about how to negotiate through recipes. And that's in the very beginning of baking style, what all of the technique and method is about. Because you just can't drop recipes in without lots of encouraging explanation and technique.
Mm-hmm. Well, baking is so scientific. And I mean, it seems like you play a lot more then you put the science in, but you do need the science to go with it. How do you compromise those both? How do you bring that together?
Well, what happens in baking style is that in the recipes, you can bake from them when your eye alights on something that you absolutely love, like these confection brownies, which are about 600% chocolate.
Should I try one?
Yes,
oh,
you
I wish
should.
You would. Very fudgy. Very fudgy. And then, but, you know, you have to have some idea about how to do them as well.
Right.
You understand. So, how good are they?
They're delicious. Okay, I'm kidding. Can you share some?
Are they fudgy and chewy? Because that was my goal.
Mm. They're definitely fudgy. I haven't bitten into it yet.
Whoa.
And so, here you go. All of the information is in the front of the book if you need to actually research a technique or a method. But the goal was, in fact, to write all the recipes in baking style so that when you actually open the book, you can bake directly from the recipe itself. And then read all the interesting how-to ahead of time when you want to be an armchair baker.
Let me ask a question. Why baking? How'd you get into that?
I've been baking since I was 7 years old, which, may I say, is many moons ago.
10 years ago.
Absolutely. I started in the womb. I was born early and just moved in that direction. So I've always loved to bake, and I baked and had my own recipe file when I was a child. And I made all the classic mistakes.
But was it encouraged? I mean, did your mother encourage you to bake? I mean, clearly she was a great baker, but did she want you baking, or was it something you did as a family together?
Not at all.
No, she wanted you out of the kitchen.
Out of the kitchen, but I was, shall we say, interested and precocious, and I would put my hands through sifted flour all the time and trajectory it all over the kitchen, and it annoyed her to no end.
Right.
She
liked a clean kitchen.
She loved it. She was a clean freak, and she loved a clean kitchen. And, you know, I clogged up the garbage disposal with yeast dough and all the, you know, we had to get a new dishwasher because something spilled and gummed up the seals. But I'm much better at this now, so.
And as you were playing, as I read your book, it just seems that you got very technical at a very young age. So did you do a lot of research when you were young? Or was it just trial and error?
I did. I started with my grandmother's brownie recipe, and I went on through there. And I was a Betty Crocker child baker.
That's
all right. Well, here's the thing that I noticed, because I can't bring myself to read cookbooks because
Nikki reads them
like they're novels.
I love them.
But having looked through enough of them now over 4 years, the thing that I thought was very interesting here is that this is really done with the home baker in mind, and it's not a lot of the books we see. There's a lot of technical information in here, but it's not tech talk to the home baker. It's very easy to understand, and you know.
Well, actually, what I found about the book is I think for the inexperienced baker, I mean, there's no room for mistakes here. I mean, you lay it out so clearly,
so
specific.
One of these, you know, remote books written by a pro who's sort of talking to other pros.
All right, so what's your question?
I'm saying, was that your purpose? I mean, or did it just end up this way?
Well, I like to be in the kitchen with everyone. I like to hover, and I hover, I think, very well in baking style. In addition to that, there are about 160 images. And it shows you exactly what everything looks like. So I did all the baking for the photography, and everything is, there's my apple cake with
gorgeous.
The maple butter glaze.
Right.
And a pink fork to go with it, plastic.
Of course.
And I encourage people to sort of take the book into the kitchen and bake from it directly, or really read about how things came to be in my hands from baking style.
That's what I really loved. I loved how some of your recipes evolved, you know, whether it was your rolls or your brownies or some of your cakes, whether you got it from somebody else and you made it your own. We have to take a quick break, but when we come back, I want to talk about some of your favorite recipes in here and how they've evolved over the years.
And how your grandmother swiped the cinnamon buns.
This is David and Nikki Nellis with Foodie and the Beast. We're drinking some lovely Viognier. We're going to be, I smell oysters. I smell it. The studio is starting to smell good, and we're snacking on brownies. We'll be back in just a sec.
Get the business day started at Founding Farmers with a farm fresh breakfast and the perfect location for meetings of all types. Enjoy farm fresh eggs to order, blueberry buckwheat pancakes, stuffed French toast, our special waffles, a variety of side orders like thick cut bacon, fresh grilled sausage, yogurt parfaits, and house made jams and jellies. Put some power into your day with free Wi-Fi, Intelligentsia coffees, and fresh hand squeezed juices. Located at 1924 Pennsylvania Avenue Northwest, Founding Farmers has breakfast ready from 8 a.m. to 11 a.m. weekdays to help you get a jump start on the competition. See the menus and reserve today at wearefoundingfarmers.com.
Federal News Radio is a proud partner of FEA, the Federal Employees Education and Assistance Fund. In the past 25 years, FEA has helped more than 21,000 federal families with over $18 million in aid. By donating just $1 per pay period, you can help federal families keep the lights on, clean up after a natural disaster, or send a kid to college. Keep your CFC dollars in the federal family and make your pledge to FEA 11185 today. Learn more at FEA.org. That's FEEA.org.
Welcome to today's lottery drawing. And today's winning numbers are not yours, not yours, and another number that's not yours. And the final number is not yours.
When it comes to having money, don't rely on luck. Brew your own coffee at home instead of buying that latte. Brown bag it to work instead of ordering it. Go to feedthepig.org for more free ideas on how to save.
Feedthepig.org.
This message brought to you by the American Institute of Certified Public Accountants and the Ad Council.
Hi, welcome to Best Buy. Can I help you?
Yeah, my brother got an Insignia HD Radio Portable last month, and he really enjoys his workouts now.
Yep, HD Radio broadcasts are great. All kinds of new stuff on the HD2, HD3 channels.
And the Insignia HD Radio Portable is $49.99?
Yes, it's a great value.
Whoa, lead the way.
And did you know Insignia also offers an HD Radio Boombox for just $99?
Insignia HD Radio Receivers. Get them now at Best Buy. HD Radio. More radio, more value.
And we are back on Foodie and the Beast with David and Nikki Nellis, and Lisa Yockelson is in the studio, and we're talking baking and stuff.
We are, and I was saying to Lisa when we were off air, few people know that prior to my getting into the food writing world, I actually baked out of my house for area restaurants.
I didn't know that.
Which was highly illegal, but I did it anyway. but I really, because of what I do now with all the kids and everything like that, I don't bake as much as I used to, and I really miss it. And reading your book just made me realize that I need to get back in the kitchen and bake more, that it's important for my family to have it there.
Because I'm not fat enough.
No, it's not for you. It's for the children. But
No hungry child.
But let's
left
talk
behind.
About some of your favorite recipes. What are some of like your children in here, and how have they evolved over the years?
Well, the top 10 starts out with the confection brownies that I brought today. And these are great because the brownies can be made ahead and frozen. And who doesn't have a midnight snack from the freezer, a chocolate brownie?
I had that last night when we got home.
So what do you do? Microwave them for...
No, I mean, I love a frozen brownie.
Okay, so brownies.
Brownies.
But you have so many different kinds of brownies.
I do. I have lots of chocolate in baking style, but lots of cookies and buttery babka and scones and muffins and cupcakes.
Right. But what, like some of these recipes, like your brownie recipes or like your mother's cake recipe that you've evolved over time, when you're playing with it, what do you try? You decide you just get bored? Like, why do you change your recipes?
Well, you know, I spent about 30 years developing all of my own formulas for baking. And over time, tastes change.
Right.
Concepts change. I get into more and more butter. And I pump things up.
That doesn't sound right.
I'm a very buttery person. and so all these things, you know, sort of come together, and recipes just change spontaneously in my kitchen.
Okay. And you're able to do that because you understand the math?
Well, baking is a certain amount of chemistry, but then I like to move that border out. As I say in baking style, there's no amount of butter or chocolate that's safe in my hand.
Okay.
So basically, I just push the envelope and the limits of both texture and flavor, and those are the kinds of recipes that are in baking style and that I'm known for.
Well, and it really comes across. It's a really delicious read. Thank you so much for coming in.
We have like two more minutes.
Oh, okay,
I just want to make sure we know, first of all, where to find the book.
Oh, and tell us you're going to be doing a book signing soon.
I'm going to be doing an event at Restaurant Riz for women chefs and restaurateurs on October the 23rd. And you can find more information about my books on Baking Style Diary. Excellent.
Excellent. Okay. Lisa, thank you so
much.
Thank you.
It's a fun book. All right,
okay.
Thanks. Are we going back to Jordan?
We are. So just tell us quickly what we're drinking.
So the one on your left, you have the Delaplaine Cellars, mm-hmm. Maggie's Vineyard Viognier.
Okay.
Maggie's Vineyard, it's a neat little site that's on the very western side of Loudoun County, grown by Mark Malik. And Jim just likes to, you know, express the vineyard as much as possible.
Jim Dolphin, yeah.
Yes.
Right.
The owner and winemaker for Delaplaine Cellars. You know, does a great job. He does several different Viogniers, and this is one of his favorite. This he actually normally says that this is his favorite vineyard to work with, just because he has a little bit more push on how he can have it grown.
So. Okay, and then the
one
other?
Beside it is our Viognier. It's one of our very few wines that we do based on a straight varietal as opposed to the vineyard site. And this one's all about just being opulent and rich and really showcase the 2010 vintage. It all comes from
Williams.
Which
you said was like an incredible year, right?
Yeah, 2010 was so hot and dry. I mean, it just made very lush, rich, exotic wines that we're just incredibly excited to make. I mean, 2010, the wines were just, it was easy winemaking. Yeah, when you had asked about this year.
Well, see, sometimes you get it and sometimes
you
don't, right?
Yeah, you know, you'd ask about this year. This year we're spending 16-hour days in the cellar and everything is compressed into a short period of time. Last year is just kind of sit back, relax. It was easy going.
See, everybody thinks, oh, I want to go to Napa and be a winemaker, you know, buy a vineyard in Virginia like Trump. Didn't Trump just buy a vineyard?
Well, he bought the vineyard for about $1.40,
right? Yeah, something like that. Yeah.
But it's not easy.
Let me ask you a question.
Sure.
I mean, Francis Ford Coppola is a notable exception to my impression that when big celebs buy vineyards, granting they're not out there, you know, working the earth and, you know, they hire people to do that. But my sense is that they don't do well. Is it because...
No, what are you kidding?
There's a love of wine, I think,
which is what it's about.
Well,
don't
who aside from Coppola...
He has a big vineyard.
I'm saying he's a success.
You know, going with the jersey, there's actually a lot of football players and actually sports celebrities, period, that have done great job with some wines. If you look at Drew Bledsoe, he's got a line of wines that it's just awesome.
Does he really?
Stuff. Absolutely.
Really?
Yeah,
oh, cool.
Great stuff from Washington State. You know, there's several golfers that do a good job. Greg Norman has some nice wines. Ernie Els.
I did know that.
They're
Greg
all
Norman.
Over.
All right, so I'm
see,
wrong.
He really doesn't know what he's talking about.
I didn't say. I asked a question.
That wasn't a question.
There's great wines from all people.
Oh, my God.
Oh, listen, aren't I right?
It's too early in the show to antagonize me.
Okay.
All right, so now.
Are you pouring something next? Are we still sipping on these? You could pour something next.
You can sip on these, or I could pour another two, whichever you prefer.
Well, why don't we sip on these? I want to talk to Jamie Lee.
Okay, and then we'll come back to you.
So, there are two Hank's Oyster Bars. One's in D.C. and one's in Old Town.
Mm-hmm.
But there's really only one word that I use to describe both, and that's fresh and delicious.
Thank you.
And those are actually two words. Hank's is the brainchild of chef owner Jamie Leeds. Jamie's sitting next to me again. You're like our Steve Martin.
I love being here.
Yeah, to talk about a bunch of stuff going on in her life. The most obvious is that you just doubled the size of the I almost called it Frank's, the Hank's, down at 17th, near 17th and Q.
Mm-hmm. On
and,
Q Street.
The cool thing is that what you did was you moved out of an apartment, knocked down the walls, and renovated
your apartment.
Well,
why don't you let her tell it instead of
so
you
wait a minute.
Telling
I want
it.
To hear about that whole story because that's I've never heard about that one before.
Well, we expanded the restaurant. We doubled it in size. And what we did is we added a bar, a 17-seat bar, a 20-seat lounge, and then we have a private dining room for 24 seats.
But the space is uber cool.
Yeah, it's very
cool. It's really
different.
Cool.
It's
I
really
had a
beautiful.
Really incredible interior designer named Maggie O'Neill, who's an artist, and she really did some really amazing things. So we're really happy with the way it came out.
Did you have an overall feel that you were looking for? Because it's very different from the... I mean, it blends well, but it is very different than the initial Hank's.
I wanted it to be different. It's kind of like the grown-up version of Hank's is kind of how I look at it. And
so the kids go in one section.
Right, exactly. Well, we left the dining room the same because the dining room is so wonderful and it's, you know, my first baby and we have so many regulars and people that love to dine there. I didn't want to upset anybody. So we left
those
the dining
regulars
room.
Can be finicky, right?
Yeah, we left the dining room intact and just made a little entrance way from one section to the other.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have the big brick wall is still there and all of the fun stuff. But the bar is now you can eat at the bar and the shucker is right there in front of you shucking oysters.
Mm-hmm.
The lounge area is much more cool and hip
it
and,
is very hip.
You know, fun. And we have crafted cocktails and classic cocktails.
Yeah,
I have
we
a
had
mixologist.
Some of the punches.
Yeah, we're doing punches for 10 and 12 people.
I love that.
With beautiful cut glass bowls that I got on eBay, which I love.
Fun, fun, fun.
Yeah, really fun stuff.
Well, and you expanded them. I mean, we were down there for a meal, what, about 4 weeks ago?
Maybe three. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was great. Well, you have a new bar menu. I mean, you're putting little tastes together.
So, yeah, we're making our own limoncello. We're making our own grenadine.
Fun.
Stuff like that. So it's great.
But there's a lot more on the menu, too.
Yeah, we have bar snacks now. We're open late night until midnight during the week and 2 a.m. on the weekends.
So how is that? I mean, now that you're doing that, because you just recently started doing that.
Yeah.
Like on the weekends, are people staying to 2
it's
o'clock
packed.
In the morning? Is
it's
it?
Packed, yeah.
I'm not
Friday
out to 2 o'clock
nights.
In the morning anymore. I'm old. I used
it's
to be
for the
up at 2 o'clock in the morning.
You're old. You're
I'm
out.
I'm just not there.
It's been really doing well. I mean, the bar is always full, and people are just really enjoying themselves.
How much fun.
Yeah.
Now, let's talk about shucking.
Uh-huh.
So did you have to train your shucker how to shuck, or do they know how to do it?
No, we train them.
You train them.
We train
everybody. Is it
everybody.
Hard to do? I'm totally petrified to do it.
It's not too hard to do once you get the hang of it. I mean, you have to know where to look on the oyster for like an opening.
That's why Jamie only has
How much did you drink last
fingers.
Night?
I drank a lot last night.
He drank a lot last night.
I'm not proud of it. Go ahead.
Yeah, the shucking is, it's an art, definitely. And we have some amazing shuckers. We have, Gustavo's been with us since the very beginning.
Okay.
And, you know, he could shuck 100 oysters in a couple minutes. I mean, he's just unbelievable.
And how many oysters do you go through a night?
We go through about 1,000 a night.
Well, speaking of oysters, let's transition to my favorite subject of the day, and that is you have invented a new strain of oyster. Is that the
exact? Well,
okay, wait. Before
I
you
haven't.
Start talking, can you pass one of those oysters?
Yeah, we have
over?
These incredible barbecue oysters that we serve at Hank's.
Thank
and,
you.
Is this the Hayden?
It's
or
not.
No?
These are Hayden's Reef.
All right,
and
well, explain that.
Well, what we've done is I've partnered with our oyster farmer, who Bruce Wood, who owns Dragon Creek Oysters, and he's an incredible oyster farmer. Mm. He only farms one oyster, Dragon Creek, and we've just established a really good relationship. And he takes care of me, you know, when I need oysters, and I'm always buying from him, so we have a really good rapport. And he suggested that he would like to, in conjunction with Saving the Bay, building a reef for us to save our oyster shells, and he would come pick up our oyster shells and build a reef in his bay. And he would grow an oyster specifically just for Hank's.
So what do they do, grind up the oysters?
No, I took the staff and we went out to the farm and we have, you know, barrels and barrels of oyster shells.
Did you take Haggy with you on that trip?
That was the second trip. Okay. David Hagedorn came the second trip.
We call a guy Haggy
and we did,
on the radio.
We dumped the shells. We took the boat out and he had a specific area in the water that we dumped the shells and we created a wall, which was the
all
reef.
Right, but let's talk about the actual oysters. This is where you're going to get uncomfortable. But how do you...
Wait,
how
is there an oyster on top of my oyster?
Oh, yes. You got lucky. Look at that little baby oyster.
Killing a baby oyster.
I want to know, to create a new variety of oyster, how do you get the two oysters interested in each other? And I asked you this earlier. Do you...
David wants to talk about oyster sex.
Well, do you feed them other oysters for aphrodisiacs? Do you
they
show
just
them,
have a good time, whatever
oyster,
they do.
We want to know if there's oyster porn that they watch to them.
It's very possible.
Eat it on.
Because they taste so good. I mean, they must be having fun while they're doing it.
Eat each other.
So how long has there been a Hayden?
Hayden is my son. He's 8 years old.
No, the oyster.
But the oyster is named after Hayden. And so we've had the oysters. They started growing a year ago. Mm-hmm. We took our staff out a year ago and built the reef. And then we've just gotten the oysters. They've grown to the size that we need them. And we've just gotten them about a month ago.
These are
new. So they're very new. It's the only place in D.C. that where you can get this oyster.
Okay.
And you can get them at both Hank's, the one in Old Town and the one in D.C. And it's a great beginner oyster because it's very clean.
Well, I was going to say, I mean, I know that the one we're eating right now is sort of plumped up because it was pan roasted, but it's meaty.
Yeah, it's
and not slimy. And I hate to use the word slimy, but you know, a raw oyster can have a little slime.
Yeah, you have that texture.
It's like an eyeball.
But these are gorgeous.
Yeah, they're really beautiful oysters. People are really loving them. And like I said, it's a great beginner oyster because it has a mild, sweet flavor to it.
Mm-hmm. All right, we have to take a quick break.
Okay.
When we get back, you're going to shuck an oyster on air.
Okay.
And we're going to find out about the WCR event happening tonight, which
definitely.
Is fabulous. Okay. This is David and Nikki Nellis with Foodie and the Beast. We are sipping some wine and shucking oysters. And later in the show, we're going to talk about little fall getaways. We'll be back in just a sec.
Diary entry, August 15th. My joints ache. Today I can hardly move. I need some answers.
I need some answers. September 3rd. I'm tired all the time. What's going on?
What's going on? June 8th. I woke up with a rash on my face. I want to know why.
For answers, ask your doctor the right question. Could I have lupus? For answers, for support, for hope, visit couldihavelupus.gov or call 1-800-994-9662. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services Office on Women's Health and the Ad Council.
Congratulations on landing the job. I'm really excited for you.
Thanks. How's your search going?
The job market's tight. I mean, I can barely get an interview. Yeah. And I've got student loans to deal with. You're lucky, you know. The National Guard paid your loans off.
Luck? The Guard was a smart decision, one you can still make.
The National Guard Student Loan Repayment Program can pay up to $50,000 of your existing student loans. Get the details at NationalGuard.com.
Sponsored by the D.C. National Guard, aired by the Maryland, D.C. Delaware Broadcasters Association and this station.
How can I keep my child healthy during flu season? My teenager's always online. How can I be sure he's not into something harmful? Parents' Perspective has the answers. Sundays at 4 p.m. on WFED 1500 AM. Designate Parents' Perspective 44415 with a generous donation in the combined federal campaign or online at www.parentsperspective.org. Thank you for helping Parents' Perspective work for you.
Federal News Radio is a proud partner of FEA, the Federal Employees Education and Assistance Fund. In the past 25 years, FEA has helped more than 21,000 federal families with over $18 million in aid. By donating just $1 per pay period, you can help federal families keep the lights on, clean up after a natural disaster, or send a kid to college. Keep your CFC dollars in the federal family and make your pledge to FEA 11185 today. Learn more at FEA.org. That's FEEA.org.
We are back with Foodie and the Beast, David Nicky Nellis, and our guest in studio, Chef Jamie Leeds from Hank's. And Jamie is about to
shuck an oyster.
Decapitate,
yes, I am.
Or whatever,
decapitate.
An oyster.
I'm standing so that I can get my balance.
And let me mention that you can see this on the TV show, which will air a week from this Friday.
Can
at
we
8:30.
See the whole oyster?
Yes.
Now that's
and you'll be able to watch her shuck.
This is a Hayden oyster.
Uh-huh, this is Hayden's Reef,
Hayden's Reef.
You see it's a medium size, and what you have to do is you have to have the proper shucking knife, first of all, and this is the shucking knife with a, it's not a pointy, sharp blade tip, it's kind of a dulled tip.
Okay.
And
is that because you don't want to get in there and, like, rip it to
You don't
shreds?
Want to rip up the meat of the oyster.
Okay.
So you just want to find the opening of the oyster. There's usually a spot at the very tip.
Mm-hmm.
And you always want to use a towel as well to protect your hand.
Okay.
So
yeah, please, no slicing fingers in studio.
Definitely not.
No blood in studio.
I've been doing this for over 20 years.
Okay.
So I think I have to do
that.
But another thing you want to do is you don't want to rush.
Okay.
You never want to rush. Or you always want to just take your time and find the opening.
Yeah, I'm gonna move this
and so.
There we go.
Okay.
All right.
So you just find the opening. And then you just twist the oyster knife a little bit until it pops open.
Okay.
And then what you do so that you want to keep the muscle, there's a muscle at the top, on the top shell and on the bottom shell.
Okay.
So what you do is you flatten out your blade and you bring the blade through to the over the top.
So you're sort of making sure that it all stays together.
Of the oyster, exactly.
Got it.
So.
And can you actually hear the oyster scream or is that?
Help me.
Well, it is alive, so you know.
More.
Once you cut the muscle, it will then, you
I
know.
Guess eating brownies is a lot less.
But there you go. And then you just make sure you clean out any of the shell, the little shell that you got. And
that's it.
And there it is.
That's beautiful. That looks gorgeous. Thank you. All right. So we have to wrap you up, unfortunately.
Okay. Well,
I want to talk about women chefs
Which
and restaurateurs. You are
you're
the president.
You're emceeing tonight. We have an incredible event going on tonight.
With Carla Hall.
With Carla Hall. Some great auction items. She's offering a couple of tickets to her show, The Chew.
Do you mean Carla Hall of The Chew?
The Chew. Yes. It's tonight. It's the third annual WCR World Fair. It's a street food festival. Over 40 women are participating. Mixologists, chefs, sommeliers, cheesemakers, farmers, cider makers, brewers, and the tickets you can get online at womenchefs.org under events until 1 o'clock today. They're $65, or you can come.
And there's only a couple tickets left.
Yeah, it's actually almost sold out. You can come to the door also if you want to pay $75. Come to the door to Willow Restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
It's at 4301 North Fairfax Drive in Arlington, the Ballston area. And it's just going to be an amazing event. We're going to have food trucks outside.
What food trucks are
we're
coming?
We're going to have Hula Girl truck.
Okay.
And then we're going to have a taco truck.
Fun.
As well. So Hula
what
Girl truck is that's Hawaiian food. She does teriyakis.
Fun.
And, you know, platters of teriyaki and rice.
That's
and
fun.
It's really good. It's a newer truck.
I was going to say, I don't know that one.
Doing really well.
Fun.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I'm excited to be there tonight. I think it's going to be great fun, and there's great auction items, and it's a good
I don't want you to feel bad. I'm excited to be at home babysitting the kids.
It's good.
Poor
it's
baby.
It's good time for the women to have fun together.
Exactly.
I like
women power.
We don't
women
need you.
Power. Don't you need me. I could be your usher.
All right, Jamie, thank you so much.
Thank you for having
me.
And
it's very exciting what you're doing with the oysters. I think that's very cool.
I was very excited to eat them.
Good. Glad you like them.
All right. Jordan, you brought us two more. Can you quickly tell us what you got?
Yeah, this is kind of a fun comparison between Delaplaine Cellars and ourselves. It's two different wines, both from Honolulu Vineyard, which is a spot that we actually share a block of Viognier together and work together a little bit. And,
Why is a vineyard named after a city in Maui?
I wish I knew. You know, it's funny. A lot of people always ask us about the name of the vineyard, and I maybe one day should figure it out. They're actually turkey farmers, so I don't know where the whole thing came from, but they named it. We go with it. The big difference between the two is ours is actually a blend of Viognier, Roussanne, and Petit Manseng. That's the second one, the one on your right.
Okay.
Versus Delaplaine's is 100% Viognier. So it's... Yeah, but made in a fairly similar style, very hands-off style winemaking. They are barrel fermented and aged, but once again, ours is the 2010 version. Theirs is 2009, so once again, we have that hot, dry year for us that definitely gives some richness.
Well, we can stay on the subject of wines. And
Virginia.
Yeah, we've got Spencer McKenna in with us from Lansdowne.
Hi. Yes, thank you very much. Spot. Thank you for having me on the show, too.
See, he thanks me, not you.
See,
and thank you, the Beast. So far, so far, so.
Yeah, Mr. Nicky Nellis. Right. Thank you, Spencer. What's your name? You guys have a big wine program out there, and I know you work with Jordan at Torreira and other.
And lots of Virginia wines.
Yeah,
yes.
So
I
think it's great.
Give
us
a little 411 on that.
Okay. We do work with Torreira quite a bit. We do a private label with them, Lansdowne Reserve Red and White, which we just actually talked about this morning, doing another vintage. And then we also work with about 12 other wineries that we get on our menu, be it Sunset Hills, Fabioli Cellars, Duquesne Winery, and we really try to illuminate Loudoun County for what it is and Virginia in general. And then from there, we do another 100-bottle list.
Well, that's what we read, that you actually trimmed your list from 250 to 100.
Why? Why did you do that?
Well,
most people are
expanding. A lot of people are expanding, though with the economy the way it is and just seeing that people aren't going out to spend $350, $400 on a bottle of wine, that they're looking for value wines. And that's something...
You just made my throat close.
And that's something that's really coming around right now is that wines don't have to be super expensive to be great. And I know Jordan can tell you that too, that we can... There are some great wines out there. You just got to look for them and you got to be educated.
But how do you educate the person who, you know, thinks that really...
The more you spend.
The more you
pay
spend.
Pay for quality.
Yeah, that you pay for quality.
My biggest, I guess, way of doing that would probably be to get to know the person at the table and get them to kind of trust me. Okay, here, let me show you what I can do.
Let me not tell you how much it costs and you guess.
Right, right. Which is, I mean, one table in general, I just remember from, it was probably 6 months ago. That I went over and, we'd really like this wine. Unfortunately, we're on a different vintage. Well, what else would you recommend? And I was like, well, let me give you a taste of something. I'll go open something up and you tell me what you think. And came back and he was looking at a $110 bottle wine. And I brought him over. It was probably $36 for the bottle.
Wow.
Tasted it. And he was like, oh, this is wonderful. This is exactly what I was looking for. Oh, all right, great. So I brought it over, and he's like, and how much is this wine? And I was like, oh, $36, and he just about fell over.
I bet. Right, because first of all, I think people always think that when they talk with the professional at the restaurant that maybe they're going to be upsold.
Right.
You know, so you did the total opposite.
And it's quite, and like I was saying before, it's all about quality. It's all about not the perception of how much you're going to spend, but what you're really getting out of it. And the wineries that put a lot of love into it and really respect their grapes and don't sell them for an arm and a leg.
Right.
It pays to really push them.
Well, and let's talk a little bit about your Buy Local, Drink Local program. I mean, what was the impetus for that?
Well, I'm originally from northern New Hampshire, and up there it was a lot of buy local, sell local. I mean, my parents have owned a restaurant for 32 years now.
Okay.
And then when I moved down to New York to go to school, the Hudson Valley was that was what was thriving at that point in time. So when I got down here and the
Wait,
resort...
Wait, where did you go to school?
At the Culinary Institute of America in Hyde Park, New York.
Hyde Park, New York. Are you from Boston?
The accent just barely comes out.
I did work in Boston for a while. Yeah, my parents are from Boston.
Yeah. Pack the cat.
But while I was up there, that was thriving. So getting down here, they said, this is what we're doing with On the Potomac, and this is what we want to make it into.
Mm-hmm. And On the Potomac being the restaurant,
On the Potomac,
Ant Lansdowne.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And that's really what Wes Rosati and his team in the culinary field, that's what they really love to do and incorporate a lot into banquets as well. Mm-hmm. But On the Potomac was eat local, drink local. This is what we're doing. It's not really thriving quite yet. And I got unleashed on it 2 years ago now. So... And now we're just
loving
life, and we're busy, and it's great. Yeah.
That's awesome. Well, so let's talk about, how much time do we have, Andy?
A couple minutes.
Okay, great. Let's talk about the promotions, because it is Virginia Wine Month.
Okay.
How is Lansdowne incorporating that into what you're offering right now?
So there's a lot of things going on over at Lansdowne right now. For Local Wine Month, which we're promoting heavily, and we're really getting into.
And do people come in knowing? Are you educating? Is
both.
It a little bit of both?
Okay. A little bit of both, definitely. Mm-hmm. Because we've got so many people, that's something that we're seeing a lot of, is people coming from D.C., making it more of a quote-unquote staycation.
Right.
And really diving into, all right, so what vineyards do you suggest? And where should we go? And what should we do?
And of course you say you should go to Torreira.
Exactly. Definitely.
First
and foremost. It's right down the street.
Right.
Great people down there.
Right.
And then... Not only do we promote the Virginia wines, but then we also go into October, which is our more so giving back to the community month. So we're involved with a dinner for Fields of Athenry, and that's going to be on Saturday, October 22.
Mm-hmm.
But not only, as you were speaking before, with Chef from Hank's, we're also working together with the From the Bay for the Bay.
Oh, right.
Dining out. So starting this Sunday, going till Saturday.
You're doing that too?
Yeah, we're
from
doing
the Bay.
That
okay.
As well.
Okay. So,
yeah.
What is, can you tell us a little bit about that, From the Bay for the Bay?
I can. So,
okay, great.
And feel free to interject.
Jump in. Just move Jordan away from that mic.
So, what we're doing is promoting Maryland seafood and participating with locally caught Maryland rockfish. That's what we're specializing in, and that's what our special is going to be.
Mm-hmm.
But it's more focused around oysters and the promotion of the oyster bed and recultivating oysters in the shells.
Yeah, cleaning the bay and any
Because
seafood.
The more shellfish, the better for the bay, right?
Exactly, because it cleans the bay. It filters the water.
Right. That's my filter.
Yeah, that's your filter.
Very
nice.
They open their clothes.
I like the hand gestures. But we're doing anything that comes from Maryland is game. So we're doing crab, we're doing rockfish, we're doing skatefish, anything that's coming from the bay.
Okay, and that's good for the bay. So it all goes back.
And then we are also donating $1 every rockfish menu item that we sell. Back to
the bay.
Exactly.
It's a good event.
And then from the 16th to the 22nd, we're working with American Farm Trust, second annual Dine Out for Farms, which again is we're showcasing some of our local menu items. We're actually highlighting Ayrshire Farms.
Mm-hmm. Great
and,
farm.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm. Great farm. Yeah.
And then lastly, it's the FOA or Fields of Athenry dinner.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of our entire give back, and this is really what we're working towards.
Well, I want to talk about a little bit more about how you work with farms,
okay?
Just like how you work with the local vineyards, and I know you have some overnight packages. We have to take a quick break.
Not a problem.
But when we come back, we're going to talk more about staycationing at Lansdowne.
Did we invent that?
Somebody did. It's a great word.
I would
I love
to think
it.
That I did.
And we're going to talk more about Viognier. Which with a huge event coming up in October.
And it's not Viognaire, for those of you.
This is David and Nikki Nellis with Foodie and the Beast. We'll be right back.
Get the business day started at Founding Farmers with a Farm Fresh breakfast and the perfect location for meetings of all types. Enjoy Farm Fresh eggs to order, blueberry buckwheat pancakes, stuffed French toast, our special waffles, a variety of side orders like thick-cut bacon, fresh grilled sausage, yogurt parfaits, and house-made jams and jellies. Put some power into your day with free Wi-Fi, Intelligentsia coffees, and fresh hand-squeezed juices. Located at 1924 Pennsylvania Avenue Northwest, Founding Farmers has breakfast ready from 8 a.m. to 11 a.m. weekdays to help you get a jump start on the competition. See the menus and reserve today at wearefoundingfarmers.com.
The Bethesda Central Farm Market, you guys, is awesome. They close off Elm Street in Bethesda every Sunday from 9 to 1. They've got 40-plus vendors with everything from local organic produce and meats and poultry and breads and coffee and chocolate and olive oils and cheeses and more. It's really unbelievable, and it's free parking, which I really love because you know I'm cheap. So go and check it out because we go there every week. We get fresh fruit and veggies and berries from Twin Springs Farms, a lot of great organic produce from Bending Bridge Farm. The guys at Walnut Hill have free-range eggs. There's cheese from Cowgirl Creamery, cookies, muffins, and cakes from Cat's Paw. I mean, it's an amazing assortment of vendors. So go to Bethesda Central Farm Market every Sunday from 9 to 1 in Bethesda on Elm Street. They close the street off, so it's easy walking around. And if you want to know more, go to BethesdaCentralFarmMarket.com. If Foodie and the Beast tell you to go, it's good.
I'm on a mission to spread the word about COPD through music. COPD stands for chronic obstructive pulmonary disease. My grandfather suffered from symptoms of it, and COPD is the fourth leading cause of death in the U.S. I'm Billy Ray Cyrus, and I drive for COPD. Looks like people are starting to get the message. Anyone age 35 and older who has smoked as little as 100 cigarettes could be at risk. Visit driveforcopd.com today and talk to your doctor.
All right, we're back on Foodie and the Beast with David and Nikki Nellis.
And before, honey butter.
Before we get back to all that, I want to thank our sponsors because they're the ones that make this show possible.
Mm-hmm.
And again, I want to say to anyone who's not a sponsor of the show, don't be embarrassed. It's okay. There's still time to get in on this thing before it takes off like a rocket. The folks at Georgetown Bakery, thank you for fresh killed bagels every morning. They're so good. Neighborhood Restaurant Group, that's our friends at Rustico and Tallulah, Vermilion, Buzz Bakery, Birch and Barley, Church Key. The folks at Founding Farmers, and there's a new Founding Farmers coming soon.
Out in Potomac.
Out in Potomac. So you lucky Potomacans or whatever you are will have one.
Potomacations.
Whatever. Folks at Modus Hospitality, they own Notte Bianchi and Dish and Circle Bistro.
Which is now open.
Right. Charles Schwartz and Son Fine Jewelers and the folks at Bethesda Central Farm Market, all happy supporters of this show. Thank you.
All right. So, Spencer, I want to get back to you. You brought in a plate of local cheeses.
We did.
Beautiful. And they're delicious. And honey butter. I don't even know what honey butter is. What is
it? House-made honey butter. One of our culinarians, one of our sous chefs, my chef de cuisine on the Potomac, he is an avid canner and loves to work on his jams and jellies. And this honey butter was something that he came up with. And it's a little bit darker because you have to cook it down a little bit. But it's just, it's rich. So it's delicious. Scrumptious.
Maybe Tell we should us a have a bit. Jam session.
Tell us a little bit about the cheeses you have.
Okay. So I brought in two Oak Springs cheeses from Upperville, Virginia. We got the Emmanuel cheddar and the...
That spicy cheese is delicious.
The red pepper derby and then the Point Reyes blue from Maryland.
So working with local wines, bringing in local cheeses, and you guys make your own honey, right?
We do. And Heller Brothers honey, which we have the Hive On property.
Right. That's very, very cool. I love it. Now, let's talk about some of the...
Did you ever get a stinging rebuke? No? I'm sorry. No, it didn't. I got a laugh.
Not from me.
A polite laugh from Spencer.
A polite laugh is not a real
laugh. Hey, I want to come back someday.
Let's talk about some of the packages at Lansdowne, because you're doing a lot of things to really get people to not just come to Lansdowne, but get out in Virginia and taste the wine, taste
the
cheese.
See what kind of activities we
have.
Right,
so let's hear about it.
So we have our wine getaway packages through October and November. And the first one is the Loud and Fine wine package, which includes a deluxe overnight accommodation, buffet breakfast for two at the Riverside Hearth, our buffet or kiosk style restaurant, a self-guided winery tour with two complimentary wine tastings at your choice of two participating wineries, which Terrara is one of.
Right?
Of course. and then a $25 gift certificate to be used at our at a tasting room of your choice, mm-hmm. and then 50% off a bottle of Loudoun County wine with the purchase of dinner at On the Potomac
That's
Restaurant.
A very good deal.
But there's a deluxe version of that that I really like because you get a private
well, not
car
only
and
that,
driver.
But wait, I have
wait
to say, wait.
No,
I also have to
wait.
Say, one of the things that you guys don't mention is that you have a fabulous spa and a tremendous workout facility.
We do.
You know, you can eat and work out and
that is crass commercialism you're listening to, folks. But the thing I like about the sort of the ultimate package is that for the vineyard tour, you get a private car and driver.
Right.
So that you can swallow instead of spitting, I guess.
And that's called our Shared Wines and Treasures pack, mm-hmm. Times package. And that includes the deluxe accommodation for two, valet parking, special wine amenity that includes a tote bag, touring maps, snacks, and more to enjoy upon your arrival.
Mm-hmm.
And then the private car and driver, which you just mentioned, to enjoy the tastings up
to
three wineries per day.
Well, I think that's a good amenity. Mm-hmm. You know?
It's a great
huge.
Amenity.
That's huge.
Right.
And then buffet breakfast for two at Riverside Hearth, and then dinner for two at On the Potomac Restaurant.
Honestly, when we were up in Napa going to the different vineyards, I thought we were in England because I was driving on the left side of the road after a while. So.
But it is harder in Virginia because unlike Napa, where many of the wineries are on mm-hmm. one road, you know, in Virginia, you do
sprawled
have to
all,
travel
yeah, I mean,
around,
having
right?
a driver going to the tasting rooms is an incredible idea. I mean,
right.
And
it's
how many wineries are we up to in Loudoun County? Around
30.
It is only 30?
Yeah, yeah.
30 is a
bad.
Pretty good number. 30
is a good number. Yeah. I mean, we're not that big of an area.
Right.
So.
Right.
That's pretty good. All right, so make sure before you split that you let everybody know how to find out information online or wherever else they would find out info.
Okay, mm-hmm. we're on Facebook and Twitter, but our home site is Lansdowne Resort. That's Lansdown Resort, resort.com.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're calling to make reservations at On the Potomac, it's 703-729-4073.
And operators are on duty now.
Well, thank you so much for coming in and bringing all the very tasty cheese, which goes lovely with the Viognier that we're drinking.
Absolutely.
So let's talk about the Viognier event that you're doing, because you used to do it in June, and now you're doing it in October. Why the change?
We just thought about it, and the heat was, you know, in June it can be a little bit much, and quite frankly, people always just tell us they want to come through in October when the leaves are changing, it's the harvest season, it's a great reason to celebrate with food and wine.
Is it an outdoor yeah. event or an indoor
It is.
Event?
Well, it's in a pavilion, but it's open. If it does happen to be like today, next weekend, then we'll have to figure something out.
It's nice right today, now.
Actually, the sun's out. They were saying that it's supposed to be drier than yesterday, but still cooler. So
okay.
We'll see. But, you know, it is meant to be an outdoor event still uh-huh. and really express the harvest. And it's also in June, it's really hard when we're talking to the restaurants about getting local seasonal ingredients. You know, they're just starting to come in, whereas right now there's a lot more for the restaurants to ultimately pick from.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, even though tomato season is over, they're mm-hmm. still there. I mean, there's still great tomatoes available yeah. and so much produce, like the end produce of summer mm-hmm. is still there, even though we're getting into fall.
Can I ask a question? Because we have about two more minutes with you. The thing, and I don't know anything about the science, but they always talk, you know, I always hear about the terroir, and mm-hmm. I can't even say it right. Did I say it?
Terroir.
Terroir.
Yeah, it's terrera.
Well no, terroir.
Yeah?
I only speak Italian, sorry. But what happens, where's the interaction between the grapevine and the earth to create, I mean, where's the chemistry that creates different kinds of sort of flavors from basically the same grape?
Scientifically speaking, if you talk to some people, they'll tell you that things like terroir are not really there. I mean, it's more about just really tasting and understanding. I mean, there's different soil aspects that I truly believe the vine upbrings a lot of the nutrients. So you're going to have different things like limestone. It's going to give more minerality to it, you know. Terroir is about everything. It's everything that affects the grapes to show a sense of place. So it's not just the soil. It's also the aspect, the sunlight it gets, the wind. For us, the Potomac River actually plays a huge part mm-hmm. of ours in that there's a lot of wind that comes in off the Potomac, dries out our vineyard, things like that. So we can get longer hang times and riper grapes, things like that. There's all sorts of different aspects.
Interesting.
It is very interesting. All right, give the 411 on the event.
Okay.
What's going to be there? Who's there? Tell us all about it.
Yeah. So this coming Sunday is our Fine Vine event, our third one that we do. It's a big celebration of Viognier and the whole local, buy local, eat local, drink local. And we also wanted to do it for Virginia Wine Month. That's the other reason we moved it